actually give a whole talk about treating our work like an athletic event. And when you see it that way, it doesn't mean you don't have fun. And I mean, having a shift drink and hanging with people you just did battle with should never be taken away.
But I mean, what's wrong with like calling that out a little bit? It almost feels like our industry is growing up a little bit. And I know it's easy to hold on to, like, it's easy to hold on to what was and to really glorify it. And I liked the School of Hard Knocks. I liked how hard life was. I felt like I was doing something not a lot of people could handle. But it doesn't mean it needs to be the norm. And I think to have that stuff challenged, I don't think is that awful.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Food Live, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your Nissan Claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Thursday. That's Plum Love Foods Live. Wow, that was a lot of energy, but I like the energy. Thursday. That's where we're at. It's your boy Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, Chef Dan coming at you here. Plum Love Foods Live. We're super excited to be talking to you. I have been on a microphone a lot today, Jeffy.
You're on that mic, dog. MC Plum. We're going to change your name.
Is that what we're doing?
It's your superpower.
Yeah. Oh, is that it? My superpower is talking on a microphone. What a shitty power that is. My powers only work if there's a PA system.
You can't dazzle them with brilliance. You'll baffle them with bullshit.
That's right. Or just being able to yell very loudly. Is that what it is?
That helps. That gets me pumped up, I'll tell you that.
Oh,
hey,
man.
Whatever it takes.
That's right. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, friends. We're excited to be hanging out with you here on a Thursday. Or maybe
Thursday.
It's a Friday morning you're listening to the show. Or maybe it's a Friday evening. Or maybe it's a late night Thursday. Either way, we are live, as live can be on Thursday nights. Jeffy's got something.
Maybe you're going to listen to it on Halloween.
Ooh, Halloween. Whoa, that was pretty good.
You sound like Andre the Giant trying to be creepy.
No, Andre's not here.
Or is he? I'm 7'4", 560 pounds from Grenoble, France.
What's that, Andre?
Grenoble, France.
Oh, okay. Do you like anything else that's like small?
No, big.
Oh, okay.
It's a Halloween costume?
There's no costume.
I can't keep doing it.
Pandora, I opened the basket. It's my fault.
Oh, man. Listen, we got a great show tonight. As Jeffy said, we are celebrating All Hallows Eve. It's our Halloween show. And our good friend David Weatherly is going to stop by here shortly and answer all of our questions, because we do tend to ask him questions like fifth graders, don't we? Mr. Weatherly, what about the big dragon in the water that everybody talks about?
You're talking about Loch Ness Monster?
I don't know why David Weatherly's voice sounds like Andre the Giant.
Talking about Loch Ness Monster?
Yes! And he'll break it down for us.
Interesting fact, Andre the Giant was also a cryptozoologist.
Ooh, I wasn't aware about that.
He studied all the monsters of the steppe.
Yes, I only like the big ones, though.
Andre's afraid of anything small. He doesn't like them.
And if it looks like a snake, I'm 7'4", 560 pounds from Grenoble, France.
Terrified of short people.
I don't even know what's happening right now. We're excited to be with you guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. David Weatherly is going to join us here in a few minutes. But, boys, I got to tell you something, man. I don't do this very often, but I was driving home late one dark afternoon. Reporter stopped me for an interview. She said that she's heard stories and she's heard fables that I was vicious on the mic and the turntable. Sorry, that's not at all the story.
I was like, did she really rhyme that to you? Because that's amazing.
This young reporter I did adore. It's rapper's delight, dude. So anyway, I stopped at a drive-thru. When's the last time you guys went through a drive-thru?
I don't go to drive-thrus.
It's been a minute. Maybe a couple weeks.
Look, but sometimes you work late. Sometimes you need some French fries to get you through the three-hour drive home or whatever. I don't recommend doing it all the time, but occasionally, listen, it's okay. It happens. We all do it, right? Would you agree with me, Dan?
Absolutely. I mean, you got to do what you got to do, right? French fries are calling.
Yeah. Well, Jeffy, I mean, I know you're not going to fault me for it.
I never fault you for anything. Anything you say, I just go with because that's what I do.
Thanks, buddy. Well, I drove through, and I pulled up to, you know, there was one car in front of me, and I was directly behind the car, and there was a sign. It was a Wendy's, that's all I could find. And the Wendy's sign, gentlemen, I'm going to text it to you so you guys can see it. The Wendy's sign had a picture of French fries, all right? And it's a red thing, and the fries are all around it. And in the writing, it says, "Our best fries ever." I was like, okay. Hey, count me in. I came here to get some French fries. I'd love to have some French fries. And if you got the best French fries ever, count me in. You guys with me on that?
Get this. Get some fries.
Get them bad boys.
Yeah.
I get the big order now.
Right?
Now it's a challenge. Oh, they better be real good because I'm going to get them all.
And in this picture, these fries are golden brown. They look delicious, like someone just kind of willy-nilly dropped them on the bar, and they're sitting there looking all delicious. And then I look lower, and there's a sign that says, "Hot and crispy guaranteed. If your fries aren't both hot and crispy, let us know. And we'll make you some that are." Now.
Yeah, okay.
Do you see
what I'm like saying? Wet water. I don't know.
Okay, so let me get this right. If I buy something from you and it is not what it's supposed to be, you are going to do me the favor of fixing it. This is what I don't understand. This is what they should be doing to fucking begin with. Why are we making this their big advertising campaign? Are you stupid? Is the labor shortage even gone into marketing as well? Dan, do you follow me here?
I hear you. It's like they're gonna, when they have the picture of the burger and they're like, "We're gonna make it look just like that."
No, that's not at all what I'm talking about. They said to me in this sign, it says, "Our best fries ever. If your fries aren't both hot and crispy, i.e., they should be anyway,
yeah,
we're gonna let us know. And we'll make sure you get some that are."
Yeah, that's...
shouldn't it go without saying? Like, shouldn't it just be hot and crispy fries? Your advertising campaign is this. Listen, sometimes we fuck up. And if we do fuck up, and maybe the last few times you came here, your fries weren't hot and crispy. Because we're Wendy's and we suck ass. But we're trying to get better, so let us know and we'll give you what you paid your hard-earned money for. Dan, you don't see this yet.
No, I get it. I understand. I hear what you're saying. But they don't give a fuck anyway. But
I just don't get who thinks this is a good idea. Jeffy, you gotta help me here because I'm literally about to go to Wendy's and talk to Wendy. I know Dave isn't around anymore, but Wendy's got to be there.
I personally think you're asking a little too much from Dave and Wendy.
But is this where we are as the hospitality industry, Jeffy? This is what I'm saying.
They're shooting. You know how like Windows is for like a ninth, 9-year-old person to understand.
Windows, like, okay.
You know,
I
mean,
dying to see where this goes.
Get it? And so, like, when they see that sign and they read that, they're like, "Oh, when you hear that, I can go in there and get good fries if I want." And they're like, "Oh, wow, that's cool, man."
First of all, why does your example guy have a Southern accent?
All right. Hey, I mean, what do you want me to, I'm sorry. Should he be Asian?
It's just whenever you talk about...
What should he be at the window? I'm sorry.
Whenever you talk about, like, John Q. Public doing something dumb, you always give him a Southern accent. I just don't understand it.
All right, I'm sorry. Southern, and also my garbage people, a lot of Italians also sound very dumb. It's okay.
The bigger question here for me is this. Is this what our hospitality industry has become? I pride myself on making great food that's perfect, as close to perfect as I can do it every single time. And it shouldn't be any compromise. Like, they shouldn't be advertising that they're trying to do something that should be done right to begin with. This is what I don't get.
This is what I don't get. There's no way in hell you could make me an order of fries and a burger the way I want it for the same price as these.
I don't know. My fries were like $10.
Nah, I'm telling you, bro. Think about it. You got to get the oil. You got to get the fryer. You're going to have to. You're a private chef. I call you and I'm like, hey, I want it to be like Wendy's. I'm paying you. That shit ain't going to cost $9.99 or, you know, I can't get too often.
Hold on, but you're also comparing yourself to a group of, like, you know, ninth graders and 10th graders who got their first job. You may, maybe one person is over the age of 30 who's still living with his mom trying to figure out life, and you're expecting them to actually put love and care into what they do. So they got to put a guarantee that, I guess, I puts a little pressure on
them. I don't think this ad is for the chef either. They're not like, oh man, I hope Guy Fieri comes through here and reads our sign and our guarantee, because he'll be impressed.
Well, the comeback I have for both of you is that, Dan, yeah, you're right. The people there don't, but the people in their marketing department have marketing degrees. They've been doing this for God knows how long. Like, and this is the best they could come up with. And Jeffy, listen, it shouldn't matter who's coming through. It should be perfect every time.
Yes, there's a target audience, man. Of course it matters.
I'm saying it should be perfect every time.
That's advertising. It matters.
I don't know how you guys can argue this with me. This is just terrible.
Come to my
restaurant, spend your hard-earned money on my food, and if it's not right, we'll make it right. Oh, you mean like you're supposed to do?
Yeah, totally.
If you come to our restaurant, we have it on a sign that we'll do what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, but bro, it's like smart water. You know what I mean? It's not really going to make you smart.
I don't see the difference.
Well, it's like advertising. It's just like, you know, oh, we have the best coffee.
You know? I mean, you don't think the water's smart? I think it's smart.
Well, yeah, but they have a fry guarantee. Of course you do.
Everybody I am does. A marketer's dream. I am buying tap water that's put in a can, and I love it.
Okay, I got another thing for you. I would say also the majority of their clientele are younger, right? You got young kids. Like, kids today are afraid to actually ask for what they want. So, for instance, I was just at a place with my daughter.
Okay, wait. This is the smartest thing that anyone said back to me about this yet. Please continue.
So she ordered a beverage, right? So she waited until we got into the car to tell me that she ordered an iced tea and they gave her a peach iced tea. And I said, well, why didn't you say something when we were inside? I didn't want to say anything because she was being nice and I didn't want to hurt her feelings. I'm like, it's not a bad matter of her feelings. It's a matter of you're the customer. We paid for this beverage. We should say something to her. She's like, well, I don't feel right saying something to somebody who gave me food. I should just take it and
give it to
away.
You. You bought it.
That's what I'm saying. But I think a lot of people today
aren't always willing
to step up and say, hey, this isn't the way I wanted it, because they're afraid of hurting somebody's feelings or saying the wrong thing. And so I think they're trying to say, like, hey, if you don't like it, say something. We'll make it right.
You're onto something there, Dan, because my kids are the same way. You're absolutely onto something there. I think that if there's a sign that maybe says that, they may be more apt to actually say it, you think?
Yeah, and not write a fucking Yelp review or tell their friends or post it on fucking social media
or
go and be like, oh, this was terrible.
Or go on their podcast and stream about
it. So what Dan said is smart, but when I said it, it's not for you. It's not, you're not the target audience for this. That was not smart.
No, definitely not.
Which was exactly what Dan just said.
No, totally different.
Exactly what Dan said.
Not even close.
Dan just took it one step further and just explained it.
You're talking about people in wheelchairs, Jeffy. No one's talking about that.
Yeah, if I were like, well, if there was a dying dog, and then the dog, and then we saved it, and then that's why, you'd be like, oh, okay.
Jeffy, I don't know if you realize it, but...
Hey, man, I just want to let you know that sometimes you gotta shut the fuck up.
You gotta shut the fuck up.
And this...
we probably need to shorten that drop. Wait. Listen, if that's what you're saying, though, in all honesty here, no joking aside, Jeffy, yeah, I think that, I mean, that's probably the best comeback I've heard, because it just really bothered me as a hospitality professional to see that, and I'm like, you're advertising that you're doing what you should be doing to begin with. I don't know. It's weird. Buy me a car, and guess what? I'll make sure it always has gas in it.
Yeah, but I mean, think about all that. I mean, yes, that's what they do. They like, you know, you just promise the shit that you're already going to do, and it just makes you sound better.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Like when you write a resume, like, hey, I'm always going to show up on time, and I'm a positive person, and everyone likes me. You know, you put that. You don't tell them the bad stories. So it's like they're like, yeah, like listen.
Work out at the YMCA. Workers. I play basketball with a guy named Lamar.
But we'll give you as many fries as you want here.
That's it.
They're basically saying. They're like, don't fuck around with the beef, get your shit right. But if you want fries, holler.
You know who's always got their shit right, Jeffy?
Who?
Our guest at this time. He's a good, close friend of the show. He's always on time. He always, what he advertises is the new shit. He's not trying to give you something you already have. He's one of the nicest guys in the industry doing what he does. He's all over the place. He just published, I'm pretty sure, his 211th book. This guy is everywhere. Close, good friend of the show. Really, really good brother. One of the smartest cats you'll ever talk to. One of the most interesting cats.
Renaissance man. Cryptozoologist.
Absolutely. All of that stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for good brother. The one, the only, Mr. David Weatherly.
Woo!
Yeah!
There he is.
Attaboy, yeah, David.
How you doing, guys?
There he is. How are you, man?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm just on a rant about a sign at Wendy's. I'm losing my mind.
Yeah, I think your big mistake is considering Wendy's part of the hospitality industry. I mean, they're basically, you know, almost on par with gas station sushi. So you just got to throw all that crap out the door, Plum, and just forget about it.
I just wanted some French fries, and now look at what I've gotten myself into.
You might get good fries at the 7-Eleven now. They have those ones in that little, they on a roller. Jesus. Fries on a little roller.
Well, David, this has to be your busiest time of year, isn't it? Halloween?
Oh, yeah, it always is. I mean, I stay busy all year, but of course, you know, this season kind of starts at, you know, late September, and it just rolls right on through, even into November easily. And of course, Christmas, which is, you know, a very creepy time of year, as we've
had you on around Christmas talking about Krampus and all those other, there's some creepy shit in Christmas time too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a busy time, and of course, you know, this is also the time of the year that you get a lot of people calling saying, you know, oh, I've, you know, got this stuff going on at my house or business or whatever, and we really need somebody to investigate. And you know, of course, they pick the busiest time of the year, right? To say, oh yeah, you know, we really need you here. And it's funny, I was thinking about you guys yesterday because a friend of mine contacted me, and he's a bartender, and he contacted me about this bar that he used to work in, and I can't say the name on air at the moment because I don't know what's going on with this case. But anyway, they've got this really
what town or what state at least
it's in Minnesota.
Okay,
the state. So yeah, they've got this situation where they keep losing employees because they've got what they call a crawler.
What?
That keeps showing up, and it scares the hell out of all these waitresses and stuff, so they all keep quitting. And it's hard enough, I'm sure, as you guys know, to find employees now as it is.
Absolutely.
So, you know, they get these young girls waiting tables or whatever, and they, you know, the first time they close, they experience this thing, they're gone, and they just never show up again.
Okay, so I don't know if I want you to describe a crawler or not, but I guess we have to. You say it, and I picture, like the ring kind of thing on the ground.
One of those backwards walking demon head flip things.
Well, it's not backwards walking. What they're saying is, you know, they keep all the kegs and stuff down in the basement, and what they're saying is that they keep seeing this figure that shows up in the basement. It looks like a shadow person, essentially, but it crawls across the floor.
Nope.
And it comes out of this back wall, back where they keep the kegs, and you know, there's a few people that have stuck around and seen it multiple times, but they say this thing comes crawling, and they think it's a man. They think it's a smaller man, and they say that it's kind of a very exaggerated. He's just using his arms. They don't see the legs. They just see his arms and the torso and the head, and they say it crawls across the floor towards whoever comes down the steps.
Nope. Nope. Listen, I thought we were going to talk about that is the freakiest shit you've ever told me. There is no, I would quit too. Fuck that.
Yo,
nope.
I've been a bar back that I would throw a keg at it.
Listen, Dan is texting me some notes for the show. My phone just vibrated. And I literally might have had a few drops of pee come out. It just scared the shit out of me. Dude, this is insane.
Well, it's funny. It's fun. The best story actually is that one of the bartenders that was there at some point, and I haven't talked to this guy. I heard this story secondhand, but my buddy said he heard it directly from this guy. I'm hoping to interview him this week, but this guy was a bartender and experienced this thing. Now, he had gotten a keg and didn't see it initially. He was headed out with the keg heard what he said was like a skittering noise behind him. So he turned around and he saw this thing and he rolled the keg at it. But he said that it crawled over the keg. As the keg came towards it, it just crawled over it and kept coming towards him.
Okay. Has anybody put a camera down there to record things? Or what are we doing?
Well, they've got security footage and you can't really, I saw one clip and you can't really distinguish anything, but I've kind of suggested some new level of, they've got some really crappy cameras down there. So I'm hoping to get some better camera, at least a better camera down in the basement area so they can see if they can get this thing, caught on some kind of footage, but they're having stuff up in the bar too.
How do you fight a crime?
So they're having minor things up in the bar. You know, they're having, glasses move and things like that. So, there's some interesting activity around the bar, that's for sure.
Okay, I have so many questions about this. Okay, so first of all, Jeffy, being a God-fearing man, out of all the stories we've heard, you know, things obviously are a little creepy, a little scary. This story alone is freaking me out because I think we've all been there, you know? We've all kind of, I don't know, had a restaurant with a basement.
Felt something.
Yeah.
Like felt something creepy. Yeah, man. Listen, I
just can't even imagine. And you go down there and something starts crawling along the floor, missing a torso. I mean, has anyone stayed to see what happens if it gets close to you, David?
No, but I haven't been up there yet. So,
all right. So is this a type of haunting you've heard of before? Is there like a name for it? Is it a...
Oh, yeah. There's a few other people that have mentioned these types of things. And that kind of is a term, crawler.
Oh, my God.
That other people have used before just because it's a... appears to be some kind of shadow form or figure or something that does crawl across the floor.
Dan, let me just ask you, how are we coming with the proton packs? Are they about ready to go?
Oh, yeah. I got them ready. They're charging right now.
All right.
They'll be ready to go.
All right.
Flux capacitor is about to be online.
All right. David, we're going to pick you up. We got a jumpsuit for you. It's got your name on it. It says David. And an extra proton pack. You ready to go? Let's do this.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they let me up there. I'm gonna stay the night in the place.
Of course you are. You fucking weirdo. Of course you are.
I would too. I'm down.
That's why we love you, man. That's amazing. So let's just talk really quick about, you talked about some new technology, some new things. What do you have now? Like, what kind of cameras would it be? I mean, what would you use? Would it be like infrared stuff, sonar? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, well, not sonar, but
you never know.
No, they've got a really cheap security camera down there. It doesn't even have good night vision or anything. So I'm trying to get them to just, you know, put a higher grade camera in there and see if they can catch something and see if we can get, you know, some motion sensors is what I'd really like to see down in there to see if the thing has any kind of physical form, see if it trips anything, you know, when the movement happens. I'm hoping to get up there at some point and, you know, really do a full investigation of the place. And it's always, you know, it's kind of hit or miss with bars. A lot of them are just really iffy about letting anybody be in there because, you know, they're concerned about all the alcohol and everything else.
There's insurance.
Insurance issues. Yeah. Same with restaurants. But, you know, and of course, you know, I offered, hey, you know, if, you know, the manager or one of the owners or something wants to stay in there, you know, that same night. And I got a very quick response of nope from that.
Nope.
So
hell no.
Nope. Man, That's a crazy story. I was not expecting you to hit us with that right off the bat. That's a crazy, crazy story. Do we know anything about the building? Is it like an older building? Is there history there?
Well, there's rumors that it has links all the way back at least to Prohibition.
Oh, my God.
And if that's the case, there could have been any number of things going on in there. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Shakers. I talked to you guys about that place before.
We might have touched on a little bit, maybe a year ago or so. Yeah. We can definitely do it again.
Yeah, but anyway, this place, yeah, so the rumor is that it has some links to Prohibition, and they think that the area down in the basement, they think that there was a tunnel in there because the wall is just, of course, old, you know, cement or whatever, and they don't know when it was blocked up. They think that there's possibly some kind of tunnel that was back there before, which would be, you know, a lot of these old Prohibition spots they did because that's how they brought the booze in.
This is why we need that sonar. But we could figure that out, that sonar.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, it's interesting because, of course, now Shakers, which I can't remember if we've talked about before, that's a pretty weird place too. That's in Milwaukee, right. And that's down in the historic district. And Shakers is very haunted. I have spent the night. I spent multiple nights there, and
stayed the night there. Haunted. It's great.
It has links to the Prohibition. It also has a really creepy connection to Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh my God! What are you doing?
So this bar, it's down in the historic district, and this was Dahmer's hangout when he was down in the historic district trolling the bars to pick up guys. What I think is kind of creepy is the bar has one stool on the very end of the bar that is higher than all the others. Huh. And that's the only stool that Dahmer would sit in.
Wow.
Because he, you know, it was a psychological thing. He needed to feel like he was above everybody else. So, yeah, he used to hang out in there all the time and drink, and then he'd go down, you know, to the bars or whatever and
eat some guys.
You know,
face.
We all know how that turned out.
Oh, yeah. My God.
But the bar itself, the building is very haunted. Like I said, links to Prohibition. It was a speakeasy. There was a brothel there. It's three stories, I think, total. The bar and restaurant are downstairs. And then, and there's also a basement, which is haunted there too, where all these people report being touched and having other things happen. And then the upper floors, there's all kinds of stuff that have occurred up there. There's spirits of some of the ladies of the evening are still hanging around, so to speak.
Well, so when you stay the night in a place like this, I mean, what are you looking for? What kind of phenomenon have happened to you? Just tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I tell you, at Shakers, we were there. I was there with a friend of mine, a guy who co-authored a couple of haunted books with me, Ross Allison. And we took a team in and had the place at the top floor. We had it pretty wired up because there's an apartment up on the top floor. And the story was that this guy had been, approached by a lady of the evening, a phantom lady of the evening,
no.
while he was sleeping in this apartment up there. So, we had a fellow who volunteered. We put him in the bedroom, and he was trying to induce some response. So we were filming all this stuff, and we had cameras, you know, at different locations. But
you weirdo.
Of course, Here's the thing. This is what happens with these types of situations. You know, you're dealing with a certain level of intelligence a lot of the times that is going to choose whether or not it interacts and how it interacts. So it's hard to kind of describe the layout of this place, but there's a bedroom at one end, and there's two entryways out of it, one to the side, which goes into like a sitting area, and then one at the other side that goes down a hallway. And this hallway shoots straight down to a bathroom and also to another living area, which is on the left. So there's an open doorway. So we were set up with our equipment in the living area. And this fellow who was in the bedroom, we were between like trying to set up some different equipment. And there were three of us in this living room. And I had put something on this dresser that's on one wall, and I turned to say something to Ross. And as I turned, I naturally turned past the open doorway that looked out on the hallway, and I looked towards Ross, and I saw that somebody was walking down the hallway. And I thought, oh, well, it's Michael going to the bathroom. And, you know, sometimes as it happens, you know, like the gears click and
right,
Ross
right.
had just went into the other sitting area, and he was talking to Michael. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing in here? Didn't you just walk by? And they're both like, no, we've been right here. We haven't moved. So I mean, there's this whole thing where it's like, that weird. Was a freaking apparition. An apparition just went down the hallway. And it...
But it never scares you. It doesn't freak you out. It doesn't scare you.
Oh, no. I mean, I was very intrigued. We were trying to figure out if there was anything that had been, you know, pointed anywhere remotely in that direction to capture something. Of course, there wasn't. We weren't filming the hallway. You know, there's no reports in that hallway and so forth. So, yeah, anyway, the whole thing, I mean, it was pretty intense. It was, you know, you get this real rush when something like that happens. And then, of course, at the same time, you're kind of like, well, damn, there's no freaking camera. There's not more evidence. But later that night, so we investigated a good portion of the night, and then we finally turned in to get a few hours sleep, and we were sleeping on the second floor. So there's two bedrooms down there, plus a sitting area and another bathroom. And I was in one bedroom, Ross was in the other. The one he happened to be in had a doorway that looked out onto the second floor hallway. And so he's freaking out later on. He gets up because he says, I saw it. I saw the apparition. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, I thought it was you going down the hallway to come to the bathroom. He said, I actually came and looked in here to see if you were in bed and you were asleep. You were like sound asleep. I said, yeah, I didn't get up. And he's like, this freaking apparition just went down the hallway. So both of us had this experience of seeing some apparition move down the hallway. And it's, you know, it's this level of whatever's there being aware, I think, that, you know,
you're there.
We're, quote, investigating, and it's going to make itself known to some degree.
Wow, that's a crazy story. Dan, you want to drop those plugs in there for good brother David for us? This is gold.
Absolutely. I'm intrigued by all of this. I'm having a great time. This is amazing. But you can catch him at airylights.com. You go find all his books and all his history and all the things he's talking about on there. You could go to his IG as Airy Lights. And just check him out, man. Monsters of Big Sky Country is the book he got dropping out. But I don't know if it has this kind of like scary, spooky shit he's talking about right now. I got shivers going up my spine. It's making me think of the things I've been.
I keep looking behind me.
It's wild.
I keep looking behind me. It's the truth, David. When you go to do an investigation like this, and you're at some place like the story you just told, you ever had thoughts of bringing a psychic medium with you or something like that? Maybe someone who has a sixth sense, a different sense that maybe they could try to contact or feel something.
Oh, sure. I've worked with those kind of people plenty of times. It's, you know.
I swear to God, you were just going to tell me they were all bullshit. I thought for sure, Jeffy, he was going to go, yeah, I've been with them. They're all bullshit.
No. I think everybody has psychic ability, actually. It's just that, most people shut it down and don't really use it.
I agree with you on that.
You know.
Man. Well,
thinks he can do everything, though.
I didn't say I had it. I just said I agree that everybody does have it. I don't know. I used to have a thing where if I said something, the opposite would happen. I was convinced that was all. Anyway, it's when I was a kid and then whatever. Jeffy, when you hear stories like David's telling right now, if you were running a restaurant and this sort of stuff was happening, would you be interested in like learning and investigating it, or would you be get me out of here?
I think if it were happening, I would want to figure out, like, yeah, like, why is it happening? Like, what's going on? And how do we get, like, how do we free the spirit? You know, like, how do we, like, send the spirit to Jesus or back to the bad place, whatever, where the fuck it came from? You know what I mean?
Now, David, Jeffy brings up an interesting point when he says the word Jesus. And, you know, you're not much of a, you're not a religious man, but you're a spiritual guy, right?
That's correct.
I mean, so...
But I've, you know, I've read the Bible front to back.
Yeah, well, I have as well, and I don't know. I just, do you feel like these things are a heaven and hell, a ghost that are trapped in a dimension they can't get out of, or are they just always here, and some of them we interact with, some of them we don't?
Yeah, I don't, you know...
I know that the question has a lot of layers, I know that, but...
It does have a lot of layers, you know. I mean, everybody has their own perspective, their own viewpoint, and some people base theirs purely on a religious view, and you know, believe that it's that everything is either demonic, you know, or angelic. So, you know, I don't really take that view. I think there's a lot of in between that religion doesn't necessarily. Well, I'll say that churches don't necessarily cover, but you know, you have to, I believe, develop your own your own approach based on what works for you and what your personal beliefs are, because you know, there's thousands of Christians in the world, there's thousands of Muslims and Hindus, and you know, they're all part of that faith, but there's also variation because they all have individual beliefs and experiences, right, and everything that influence that. So, you know, I think when it comes to ghosts, that we're looking at not just a singular answer to understand what's going on. I don't think it's as simple as saying that, well, if there's something here in spirit form, it's demonic, because that's simply not the case. You know, some of these things that people experience, they're not conscious entities at all. They're just recordings, if you will. You know, they're residual energy that is there because of a traumatic event or something that happened. And then you've got other spirits that are here for a very defined reason. You know, maybe they have a strong attachment to their, you know, loved ones or their family, or they feel like something's not finished. You know, some of them, I think, don't understand that their time situation has changed, if you will.
Yeah.
And then you have other ones who are just outright afraid. I mean, you know, you've got, have I ever told you guys, I've told you guys the Fox Hollow story.
I'd like to hear the Fox Hollow story for sure. Before you drop into that one though, do you use your, is your spirituality, and I'm not trying to be religious here, but I'm just trying to figure out how people, I think everyone's different when they see things like this, Jeffy. And I feel like David, your spirituality in a way is like a shield to you more than a weapon to you when it comes to this sort of stuff. Is that safe? I don't know. Or is it not matter at all? And you just take it, you know, purely from a scientific standpoint.
No, I think your assessment's pretty accurate. I think that it can be a weapon if I need it to be, but you know, it doesn't really, happen too often.
You're not showing up with super soakers full of holy water like in Lost Boys.
No, I've worked with plenty of people that, you know, use holy water constantly and do things like that. And, you know, that's, I mean, I don't, you know, somebody wants to throw holy water on me, that's fine. It's not going to hurt me any, but, yeah, you know, it's, again, that goes back to a personal, very defined paradigm though. You know, people that use absolutely that. First of all, if you have a strong Catholic faith, then it's going to work for you. But you also have a lot of people who really aren't practicing Catholics or Christians, and they'll be throwing that around like it's some, you know, magic potion or something. But it doesn't really work that way if you don't believe.
man. It's so interesting. Dan, drop those websites for him one more time before we hit that next subject.
Yeah, airylights.com, and his IG is same thing, airylights. Yeah, gotta check out all that shit. I love this.
So, David, what was the other story you're about to tell us? Because there's so much more. I mean, we haven't even gotten to questions for you yet. You're just dropping so much shit. I know, he's killing it.
The bit.
This is why we love David. He brings so much heat. It's awesome.
So people are always ask me what creeps me out, you know, if any of these things disturb me or creep me out.
Yeah.
And I always say that, you know, really what creeps me out is what humans will do to other humans. And I'll tell you, hands down,
one of
the creepiest places I've ever investigated is Fox Hollow Farms. And it was creepy because it was the home of a serial killer.
Oh, for God's sakes. Here we go, Dan. Me looking behind me again. Jesus.
I'll even throw in the food connection, because this guy was the founder of the Save-A-Lot grocery store chain.
Jeffy, you had them upstate, right?
So there you go. This place, man, I tell you guys, this place, it's in Indiana.
Okay.
It is a home that was built, I believe it was in the 70s. And it was built by this guy. His name was Herb Baumeister. Now, old Herb had a wife and kids. And he made a good chunk of change from this grocery store chain. But what he would do is, on the weekends or whatever, or certain times, he would send his wife and kids out of town so that he could go into Indianapolis and troll the gay bars for victims. And he would bring these guys back to his home, where he had an indoor swimming pool, which was down on the bottom level of the house.
This is like Jeffy used to do in his new spot in the city.
he would film his escapades, which led up to murdering these guys.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Dude.
There's a family that lives in this home. The home hasn't really been changed.
What?
Since he was killing people in the house.
Really, in the swimming pool. So the house really hasn't changed much. It was a fluke thing, because they don't really let people. Occasionally they'll let people investigate now. But back then, this was several years ago, they didn't really let anybody investigate. They had one television show, I think, in there.
Wow.
But it just this fluke thing, we happened to call him, and the guy, you know what it was? The guy needed money. Well, I won't even say this. The guy just wanted to know, you know, can you, you know, what are you willing to pay to investigate this? And we, you know, wasn't much that he wanted. So we got an investigation, and we went over there. This guy was living there with his family, and he says, you know, he takes us around and shows us the parts of the house.
Okay.
And he takes us down to the swimming pool. So we walk in, we're walking around. You know,
and you know the story at this point, right, David? Like, you know the story going into it.
Yeah. So there's this big glass picture window that looks on into the swimming pool. And it's inside kind of a games room. And that's where he used to have his camera, like, pointing in through that window so he could film things. So here's the thing, guys. We walk into this pool area, and to the left is a maintenance room, right? And we walk in. It's just, you know, it's just a concrete maintenance room with the, you know, the pool equipment or whatever in there. And he's like, yeah, so there's three of us there to investigate. And then the guy who, you know, lives in the house, he says, yeah, they think he stored the bodies in here.
Oh, my God.
Until he could, you know, dispose of them, which he did by cutting them up and burying them all over his property.
That makes sense.
So we're standing there in this concrete room, and on the wall is the pool hose, you know, the automatic hose that goes around and gets the debris up out of the pool,
okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Just the long, you know, like plastic hose or whatever it is. So it's hanging there on the wall, and the guy casually looks at it and says, Yeah, that's the hose there that he used.
The same hose?
And yeah, so the
hell no.
Kind of look at each other. Well, this is the murder weapon.
Yeah.
This is how he strangled him.
There is no chance that was actually the murder weapon. There's no chance. The police would confiscate that shit. Come on.
Well, the three of us standing there, and I said, that's the same. That's the actual hose, the same hose. And the guy's like, yeah.
What? There's no way.
Wow. Well, that's weird.
So here's the freaky thing. We
thank God. I wasn't sure if we were ever getting to that. Are you fucking
A couple of us took turns in the swimming pool area by ourselves, trying to get responses.
Did you get in the pool?
Just to see what would come up. So the one friend of mine stood in there first, and he, you know, did a whole session with a hacked, we call it a ghost box. It's a hacked radio. Uh-huh. And the theory is that the spirits will use the voices over the radio to communicate, so they'll answer questions. And he tried several different things. He wasn't really getting much response, and we took a break. And I was like, you know, I'll go in there. I'm going to take a different approach. So I went in, had a ghost box running, and I started being more confrontational with what we thought was the spirit of this guy, Herb. And
you went in and kind of yelled at it.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, you know, cussing him out and just, you know, really kind of laying into him. And he, I'm getting these responses come back on the ghost box that, you know, seem like it was him. And I asked directly, I said, who's in here? And the voice came across the box real clear. His name came across the box real clear. And I said, you know, why are you here? And I couldn't get a response. And finally I says, you know, why are you staying here? What is it you're afraid of? And just real clear across the box, it said hell.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And
that's,
you know,
some creepy
so this
shit.
This is the case of a spirit that is terrified of, I believe, of going to hell, you know, of damnation,
of
all the things that he did. Yep. So he decided to stay attached to the place that he, you know, spent so much time in.
Wow.
But so that's creepy. That's not the weirdest thing that happened during that investigation.
Jeffy, that wasn't the weirdest thing. But wait, there's more.
Hit me.
There's more. So there, and you're getting the short version because there's a lot of other stuff that happened. But there is an apartment over top the garage. And this apartment it has all kinds of stories associated with it. It's supposed to be a knock that comes at the door because it has a separate outside entrance, right? And there's knocking at the door. There's other things that people have reported, because over the years, the apartment has been rented out at various times, and people that have stayed in there have reported different strange things occurring. So we actually had a local guy who showed up, who lived in that apartment for a while and had experienced some strange things. So he was there with us when we went in the apartment and was telling us some of the stories of the things that had happened to him. We investigated this place. Now our time was running out. So we started wrapping up the investigation, and there's four of us sitting in this little apartment's main area, which is an open plan living room and kitchen area, right? With a little kitchen table and a sink and stove and a couch and a couple of chairs. So the four of us are sitting there, and three of us are kind of packing equipment, and we're talking, and it starts pouring, raining. I mean, wow. It's just a driving rain, and we're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, the vehicles are parked like way over, you know, away from this building. We're concerned about all the equipment because, you know, it's going to get drenched, and we're thinking, geez, you know, we got all these cameras and all this, and not everything was in cases, and this driving rain, and we finally just were like, you know what, we're past our time. We need to just make a run for it with this stuff and try to, you know, get it to the vehicles as quick as we can. So we walk over, we open the door. It's dry as a bone. It's not raining.
Wow. Okay.
And four of us had sit there and heard and commented on this thunderstorm going on outside.
What the fuck?
When these things happen, I mean, are you ever like, all right, time to go, boys, pack it up, let's get out of here? I mean, it's got to be a little freaky to you. I mean, I know you've seen some crazy things in your time, but I mean, these stories alone are bone chilling. I don't know if I could do what you do. I want to do it, Jeffy. I want to ghost hunt, but the first time I saw some motherfucker crawling half shadow bullshit through some kegs, or
you'd hear me invoke the power of Christ.
You better have a couple of Christ, because that's a lot of shit, and
I'll be getting fired up.
That place, I'll tell you guys, that place was disturbing to me simply because, you know, of
the history.
You know, you're walking in the steps of this guy. You know, this is the place that he lived and spent all this time, and you know, just the mere I can't quite get my mind around someone living in a place like that and just carrying on about their business like
so nonchalantly.
Great, you know, everything's normal. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, you know. Well, no, those carpets are fine. We'll leave them down there, you know.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, what? Listen.
You know what?
The ghost box thing, listen, that alone is a creepy thing to have with you and play with, I'm sure. I mean, you're probably used to it, but to, you know, laymen such as myself and Dan and Jeff, I mean, if you start... Those ghost boxes, they basically work on, like, frequencies of radio, right?
Yes.
I guess maybe I should have you explain how it works before I start questioning things about it.
Yeah, it's basically, it's a hacked radio in its basic form. And what that means is that it's a radio that is set to constantly scan through the channels. The idea being that a spirit can use the radio waves to communicate by interjecting, you know, within those scans and answering questions. Now, like most equipment in the ghost hunting field, you know, it's controversial. Some people use these and it's like the only thing they use. I know people that have, you know, dozens and dozens of these things, different kinds, and that's all they do when they go investigate. They just run ghost boxes. And I know other people who just refuse to use them because they don't think they're scientific. And, you know, honestly, I'm kind of, I'm in the middle on it because, like, you know what, guys, this is all experimental science. What we're doing, it's all experimental science. It's, you know, you can call it science if you want to, but, you know, by technical terms, a scientist wouldn't consider what we're doing, you know, correct, because we're not in a lab, we're not repeating the experiment, you know, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, it's a very experimental field, and I think that if we go with the theory that these spirits are willing and able to communicate, then there's any number of potential ways that they may do that. You know, I mean, of course, in years past, you know, the thought was, well, they'll use, you know, a planchette on a Ouija board and make it move, or, you know, come through and you know, direct the letters that are spelled out, or... you know, any number of things. So now, you know, we've just kind of gotten to a point where we're bringing in all this technology and saying, okay, well, maybe they can use this, you know, maybe they can communicate this way. And what's fascinating is that, you know, I've seen plenty of situations where somebody's just running a ghost box and it's very random and kind of generic. And, you know, they think they heard something and maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But, you know, I've seen other situations where I personally have heard words that just would not come across, you know, normally. You hear words that wouldn't be broadcast. You know, you hear right. profanity that wouldn't be broadcast on AM, FM radio. And you hear
you've heard profanity, huh?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's
crazy. I mean, and you only got to imagine, too, as we get smarter, technology is going to change. There's going to be more things that come about just to examine, you know, to regular people, to be able to examine different planes, different sorts of energy around. I mean, this whole thing is just crazy. Jeff, should we get a ghost box, Jeffy, and just take it everywhere we go from now on to see what we get?
Absolutely. I love this idea.
I kind of feel like it's a magic eight ball. We can just ask it questions.
Dude, I work in a landmark building in New York City that I swear weird shit happens in there all the time, dude. The people who watch the place late at night are always telling me stories. And I've had doors slam around me for, like, no reason. That's, like, weird. Like, yeah, like bathroom doors that are, like, super heavy doors that, like, just all of a sudden are, like, wham!
Wow.
Like, open or closed.
Well,
it's really strange.
David, I know the boys got a couple of questions about some stuff we've read about. We're going to try to run it by you and see. And you may know about it, you may not, but I have a feeling that you probably do know about it. Can we try to run a few things by you?
Yeah, sure thing.
All right, I'll start off. Or Dan, do you want to start? Because you've been doing a lot of the research, Dan. Why don't you start and run one of the stories by him?
Oh, my God. All right. I'm like, whoo. I have just a quick question, though. You were talking about the ghost box. There's a lot of things that are on phones now, like things like that you can apps that you can get and download. Do you think any of those are good enough, or do you think just the old school stuff is better?
Great question.
I don't put any stock in those for a couple of reasons. One is that I think all of the ones I have seen, they will specify on there that they're for entertainment purposes only. And you have to understand that those apps, you can get apps on your phone that will create a ghost photo too. Mm-hmm. And you got to understand that the ones that purportedly give you messages from spirits are pretty much just the audio version of that same type of thing. What a lot of people don't understand is that somebody will have an experience. They'll get one of those things. They'll download it, and they'll run it, and the thing will spit out a cemetery, and the person will be shocked and say, "Oh my God! We just drove past a cemetery, and it just said cemetery. It's a spirit." Well, it's not because those things have geolocators in them.
Oh, right.
And
right.
They use this in conjunction with the algorithm to determine what words to spit out. So, they'll spit out a word that is kind of synchronized, in other words, with the area that your GPS is showing you travel through. And it seems really impressive and kind of stunning at the time, but it's technology.
Yeah, and I think those things have to be taken with a grain of salt because anybody with half a brain would realize, it's this geotagging, and of course it's going to say that because they're driving, But I'm sure, teenagers and stuff like that would play with that sort of thing and have fun with it. But it's still fun. I mean, look,
yeah,
Ouija boards.
it's a quick thrill, It's just a quick thrill.
Yeah, you mentioned it a minute ago. When we were kids, we had Ouija boards. Now they have their iPhones with weird spirit apps.
That's right, yeah.
Tomato, tomato, right? Sorry, Dan, go ahead, buddy.
Okay, so one of the places that I've seen, and you're talking about being the place of a serial killer, was a restaurant and bar in London called Ten Bells. It's supposed to be where it was. They called it Jack the Ripper because apparently Jack the Ripper would hang out there, and apparently Ann Chapman and Mary Kelly were there previous to their murder. So they believed that he was there and it was a hangout spot of his, and that essentially they decided to call it Jack the Ripper and in poor taste, and they changed it back to Ten Bells, and they said that the creepy guy is there hanging out.
Yeah, I've been in Ten Bells. It's a cool slice of London history. It's been recorded on that site since like the 1700s, that particular pub has. So
wow.
I don't know how old the current building. I think the current building dates to like the 1800s, early 1800s. But yeah, it's an interesting place. The whole area, Whitechapel, most of it looks nothing like it did during the Ripper's killing spree. So it's one of the few places that you can go and really feel like you're kind of seeing a slice of history from that time period.
Wow.
The rest of it is all, a good portion of Whitechapel is lots of strange, stores and different ethnic eateries and just all kinds of crazy stuff. And they keep building other different large buildings down there and tearing down more history, sadly. But yeah, it's reportedly very haunted. I spoke to some people when I was there that swore they had had strange experiences in the pub. And, you know,
wow.
Yeah, we can say I never spent the night or anything in there, but wouldn't surprise me considering how old the place is alone. You know, it's very possible that it was, that there is at the very least residual energy. It was also, it's been in a couple of movies. I know it was in From Hell. The, at least the exterior was it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. How about that? Hey, David, what about the Red Lion Inn in Stockbridge, Massachusetts? Tons of hauntings, specifically on the third floor, room 301. Someone touches people and tugs at people, pulls the sheets. You heard of this place?
I've heard of it. I've not investigated that one. Haven't even been in that one, actually. But, I know it's got a great reputation. It's another historic place. It's one of the, isn't it one of the oldest restaurants or something in Massachusetts,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. Cause
that one goes back to the 1700s, I believe.
Wow.
1773. I actually have been there. It's a fucking creepy place.
I mean, if you've been around since 1773, you bound to have some ghosts in your fucking place. It's just,
hell yeah.
I mean, you got to, right?
Well, and I mean, you guys got to think about it too. You know, a bar or a restaurant, you know, that is a prime type of location to collect what we call residual energy, you know, from the amount of human energy that has spent time in there, right? Whether it's positive or negative, you know, whether it's from celebrations or whether it's from brawls or fights, sometimes murders, you know, any number of things, but it has a gathering place. That goes, you're talking about something that goes back to the 1700s, you know, in the United States, you get back to the Revolutionary period. Well, that's early history for our country, right? So, you know, you're still talking about a lot of years and a lot of intense historic events and so forth that have, again, just poured tons of energy into a particular location. And that kind of collects and it sort of sometimes takes a life of its own, I believe.
Yeah.
There's like a big cage elevator right in the middle of the place. It's one of those old, really old, rickety, loud places. And I actually didn't realize that this place was haunted when I was there, but I definitely did feel like an eerie feeling. And while I was there with Athena, and we're standing at the bottom of it, and it just started going up.
That's his daughter, by the way. That's his daughter.
Yeah, my daughter Athena. And I'm like, I was kind of like, oh, and I'm looking up, and you can kind of see up the stairs, and then we're waiting, and no one came down. So I don't know if that was like some, you know, haunted shit or whatever, but there was definitely no one around at the time. And I was just kind of like, all right, we need to go ahead and move on from here. Cause it was just gave me a bad feeling.
Yo, that's super creepy. That's super creepy. I found a place in New York City that I was wondering if you'd heard of. It interested me because it was the carriage house for Aaron Burr. It's called One by Land, Two If by Sea. You heard of this place?
Oh, I know about that place. Yeah, that's another one I haven't been in, though.
Oh, yeah. It's like crazy history there.
I know it's got a great history, and it's supposed to be haunted.
Yeah. It's not far from where I live. I feel like I want to go in there now.
Oh, you haven't been in there yet, then?
No, I haven't been in there. I just want to go in there and smell the sheets.
What's wrong with you? Hey, David, what are some tips you would give to the amateur, you know, a supernatural hunter who wants to go and investigate something on their own, you know, maybe post a video or something. Is there any tips you would give them?
Oh, yeah. No, people ask me that all the time for those that want to get involved in the field. And, you know, there's a few things I tell people. One is don't get your training by watching reality TV shows. You know, that's a
solid advice.
That's
solid.
Not going to do it for you. You know, those are done for entertainment. There's some great people that do a lot of those shows, but you have to understand that you're, even if it's a real investigation they're doing, you're only seeing a very small slice of what they've actually done. And you really need to, read, you know, don't depend on just junk on the internet or people, you know, tweeting, because that's not going to give you solid information either. So, you know, read some solid material, get yourself a mentor, you know, someone you can talk to who's been involved in the field for a while and can point you in the right direction. And if you're going to use equipment, understand how it works and exactly what it does. You know, don't just pick it up because it makes a cool noise or the lights flash or something like that. I see so many people who just buy every piece of equipment that comes out, and they don't really understand what exactly it does or what its limitations are or how it works. And, I got a hit on this meter. Okay. Well, what does that mean? You know, what causes hits on that meter? Well, it means there's a ghost present. No, it doesn't.
So, electrical field.
You know, you have to understand what you're working with.
Well, I think
you wouldn't pick a gun up and just like turn it around in your hands and say, well, this thing does something.
No.
Let's just start punching buttons and see what it does.
My name's not Alec Baldwin.
Oh my God.
Hey, so it sounds like we're in good shape, Jeffy and Dan. So I think we got this worked out. We do a lot of reading. We have a great mentor in David Weatherly. That's good. He doesn't know he's mentoring us yet, but that's happening. And we got equipment. We do have some flashing lights, but sounds like we need to get an EKG.
I have a Bible.
Right? Does your Bible have flashing lights? Did you put LED lights
on
it?
But I can put some on it. I can put a couple flashing lights on the Bible.
All right, that'll work. We can do that. So it sounds like we've got everything ready to go. David, if you want to head back, just to circle back and bring everything back around to your first story you told us about that place in Minnesota, we got everything ready to go. So if you want us to join you, sounds like we're just about there.
So what's the big question? Which one of you guys is staying by yourself down in the basement the first night?
Jeffy will be down there. He'll be fine.
He has his Bible. He got the Bible. He'll be
yeah,
fine.
He's got the with LED lights on his Bible. He's good.
I would do it.
It's the LED. We call him Lead Bible because it has LED lights on it. Jesus.
I mean, do you sleep or do you just sit up and just shake all night? What do you do in those situations?
That's
I'm not sure. I just don't know. I actually moved out of an apartment once. I stood in a basement. This guy had a house, and his mom died down there. And they told me it was haunted, and I was like, yeah, whatever. You know, I believe in Jesus, this and that. You know, I didn't care. And then I stood there for like 2 months, and every fucking night something crazy happened. Like every single night. And like the cable didn't work. But, like, I would get a couple channels on the antenna, so I'd have to tune it in. And sometimes when I was tuning it in, like, weird shit would happen. Like,
nope.
And I was, like, lights would flicker, things would slam in the bathroom. And, a couple nights, my buddy lived upstairs. It was a basement apartment. And I would go upstairs and sleep on his couch. And he would be like, bro, what are you doing up here? And I'm like, bro, I can't sleep down there. I'm terrified.
It's like, a carnival show down there.
Yeah, dude, it was like one of the I would wake up and I would have the feeling that there was something like an inch from my face. And it would like, and I would wake up and I would feel like frozen with fear. And then I would be like, then I would fucking have to like pray and like get up and then like get the fuck out of the house. I'd be all freaked out.
Jeffy, I had no idea. I didn't know you were so scarred by this. This is a great story.
Yeah, it was a scary time. But it's kind of just reminded me.
They didn't want you in her house.
Yeah, they didn't want
you. Yeah,
no,
she didn't like me. She didn't like me.
Well, if you had put some clothes on when you went to bed, she wouldn't be up in your
face
telling you.
That's what I thought, too, you know. It's like, and I used to have my girl over, and we were supposed to, like, not be hooking up, but we would hook up there all the time.
That's somebody's mom, Jeffy. Somebody's mom was down there.
That's kind of what I always thought.
David, tell him. You can't. It's somebody's mom.
I would pray it. I was trying to pray her out of there.
Mm-mm.
That's the first rule. Don't have sex in them horror movies.
Yeah, that's what they say. Hey, speaking of horror movies, a great segue before we get David out of here. And David, bro, we could do a 4-hour show with you. I mean, I said before, it's like you're standing in front of a fifth grade class because we're all like, oh my God, then what happened? Like, we just keep wanting to hear shit. which, by the way, boys, I don't know if you realize it, this whole show, that's exactly what we just did. But
hell yeah.
That's what it was. So, but David, Halloween time, got to talk a little horror movies with you really quick. My daughters are getting into horror movies a little bit. My twins, they're 14. And they asked me what I thought the scariest movie ever was. And I said, I had a fascination with horror movies. I loved them. I would always watch them. I love, you know, all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, even when they started becoming funny. Like, I love all of those. So Friday the 13th, mm-hmm. great movies, especially, I mean, Jason in Space. Are you fucking kidding me? It's hysterical, right? But they said to me, what is the scariest movie I've ever watched? And I thought about it for a minute. And it was plain as day. I said it was the 1968 Night of the Living Dead, where it's in black and white. And they were like, why is that movie scary? So we're going to watch it tomorrow night. They'd never seen it. But I said, do you know why that movie is so scary? It's so scary because the entire time in the movie, there's a newscast going on in the background. And it makes it feel so fucking it's scary as fuck because of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
If you had to pick a scary movie, could you pick one? What would you pick?
Oh,
I got a feeling nothing really scares you. I mean, you're a trained, you're a fucking samurai. You cast mm-hmm. magic spells. You hunt ghosts. I mean, you got some sacrificed chicken and a selection of sauces to dip it in. Right now, I'm sure.
You know what I think is an absolute classic, though? I love that first Night of the Living Dead, but the other one that is a real classic is the first Halloween, because it's more psychological. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a bloody movie.
No, it's not a blood and guts.
I wasn't a big Friday the 13th fan just because that was in that period when, you know, all the slasher films, I think, is kind of a separate genre, and mm-hmm. It's absurdity, right? I mean, you got these guys in masks running around. It's just how much gore and blood can we make? And
well, isn't the first Friday the 13th, isn't it like his mom? It's Jason's mom doing it?
Yeah. Now, I'm talking about the first Halloween.
Well, the first Halloween, there's only like, I think, is it six deaths in that movie? It's not crazy.
Yeah. Sure. It's not many, but it's an intense movie. I remember seeing it in the theater. And thought, this is freaking great, man. It's just, it's
a great movie.
It's very, it's kind of Hitchcockian.
Very.
You know, you can see the influence there because
the
it relies more on
lighting.
Building the tension, the filmography, you know, the way the shadows are done. And the, you know, you just, you sit there wondering, where is that bastard? You know, he's in there somewhere, right?
Yep.
But you just don't know where. And that's kind of the tension that floats through the whole movie. So, I think that's an absolute classic.
What a great fucking choice that is. Dan, I mean, we're going to go ahead and go around the table here before we get David out of here. But if you had to pick one, what would it be?
So there's only been one movie that scared the shit out of me that made me, like, looking out the windows,
the
made
Toxic
me fear for
Avenger.
My life. No, not the Toxic Avenger. That movie was
fucking
weird
as
shit.
It's a great fucking movie.
Creepy fucking movie, but...
Yo, no. By the way, first of all, anything by Troma is fantastic. Fan-fucking-tastic. I love it. Sergeant Kabuki Man NYPD is the greatest movie ever made. David's laughing because he's seen it. He knows what I'm talking about.
We have different stories.
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's a great fucking movie. All right, sorry, Dan. I mean to interrupt you.
No, it's fine. I'm used to it by now.
Fucking Sergeant Kabuki Man.
So, for me, the movie The Mothman Prophecies. Because
what?
I was scared to shit. Yeah, because I was like... I knew about the Mothman. It was an entity that I had heard of. I knew it was like a creature. I didn't really know much about it as to what it was until I saw the movie. Then I did research about it afterwards. And I mean, if you see it, you're gonna die. It was like a given. Like if you ran into the Mothman, it didn't matter. He wasn't gonna do nothing to you. But if you saw him, he was the angel of death. You were gonna die. So it was like, oh shit. Like, if I see this fucking thing, I'm going to die. And it was like, it was known that it was around and it would show up at any moment in time. So that shit scared the fuck out of me because everything else was like, oh, it could be explained. It's, you know, it's some fucking guy in a mask. You could run from him and everything else was kind of explainable. But the Mothman was something that it was a matter of running into him at the wrong place, the wrong time, you were done.
Hold up. First of all, you can tell when Dan gets excited because all of a sudden he starts talking at 97 miles an hour. Which is why I love you, buddy. You know that. But I think the Mothman, isn't that based off of some sort of lore there, David?
Oh, yeah. I guess I should have told some Point Pleasant stories tonight.
Oh,
I've actually spent a lot of time there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
have you seen the Mothman?
That's based on that book, or that movie is based on the book, Mothman Prophecies, which was written by someone who was a huge influence on me, John Keel. who was an investigative reporter who delved into all kinds of weird stuff. And The Mothman Prophecies is his best known work.
Wow. Dan, look at that. How about that? You throw something out there that David knows all about.
Absolutely. That shit scared the fuck out of me.
Fuck that guy. I'll fuck a Mothman up. I'm telling you right now. Like,
you're going to die. It don't matter. You're going to die.
Mothman was scary.
Talking about crazy movies, though, Plum, I gotta ask you, have you ever seen The Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires?
No, but this sounds incredible.
Oh, dude, I'm gonna turn you guys on to a whole new genre, Kung Fu Vampires.
I love it. Give it to me.
It's Chinese Kung Fu fighters fighting vampires.
I'm Hell fucking yeah. in. Let's go. Let's go.
You have got to see this.
Let's go.
That sounds great.
I just marked it.
That's incredible. Oh, count me in. David, I had no idea you were such a horror movie fan. This is incredible.
Well, this one kind of crosses the line, too, with, you know, martial arts movies. I mean, I saw these things at late night at Kung Fu Theater, you know, back in the 70s and 80s when they were running this stuff. So,
oh, I'm so in. Man. I love everything about this. Are you fucking kidding me? This is what I'm talking about here. I mean, I just saw some crazy, I mean, we're talking about weird movies, so I just saw some crazy fucking movie from Indonesia from like 88 called Lady Terminator. Have you guys ever seen this movie?
Nope. No.
Okay, so hang on a second. They just, it's like they combined 7 different American Western films and called it Lady Terminator. And like, it's this woman who is like born from this demon, and she has to kill this dude, but she's always fucking people. She has like a snake in her vagina, and it's just fucking crazy, this fucking movie. And then
it's a quality film.
This is and they just recreate scenes from the original Terminator and don't give a fuck. Like when she runs a car into the police station and gets out and has an M16 and just shoots the place up, and then they eventually like catch her on fire and she ends up shooting laser beams from her eyes. It makes no sense, but it's incredible. Lots of naked women, lots of lasers, lots of death scenes. It's called Lady Terminator from Indonesia. You gotta check this movie out. It's awesome.
Sounds amazing.
Okay, I can. How we got off on this stuff, I don't know, but it's the crazy shit you guys.
I had no idea you could talk about this. I love this.
I can do you one better. Velocipastor.
Oh shit!
I've seen that.
What?
Velocipastor. Yeah. Yes.
It's Velocipastor. It's a Catholic priest. He goes to China, and he ends up fighting ninjas. But he gets infected, and he ends up turning into a Velociraptor.
Jesus.
It's the craziest. Yeah,
he can transform into a dinosaur, and then the co-star is a hooker that he saves, and
he ends up fighting ninjas. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
He's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Velocipastor. Yeah.
There's a movie called Terrified from Argentina. I think it was like 2017 or something like that, and It's fucking great movie. It's doom and gloom. It's like Pet Cemetery. It's fucking crazy. But there's a scene where this kid dies in the beginning of the movie. Gets hit by a bus. It's fucking terrible. But he at one point there's a scene where there's just footprints in this guy's house, and they go into the kitchen, and there's this fucking dead body kid eating cookies and drinking milk, and the camera is like a one shot on him the whole time. And this fucker never moves. It is the creepiest shit. I'm like, okay. Like, I wish he would get up and try to eat somebody, but nope. He never moves, and they never talk about it after again. It's fucking crazy. It's called Terrified. There's so many bad horror movies. I love it. This is fucking what I'm talking about. I love terrible horror movies. This is awesome.
You got to get into the Kung Fu vampire films, though.
That's happening.
I love all these things. I love all these movies, but what about like the real classics, like all the Vincent Price films and shit like that? Did you guys ever get into any of that? Like,
House on Haunted Hill.
Yeah, House on Haunted Hill or The Conqueror Worm or any of those ones, like real sadistic-y ones.
Great movies.
That like fuck with your head. And also the ones that really fucked with my head that I hate, One, because they're bloody, but two, just because I think they could possibly exist and it makes me fucking terrified, are movies like Hostel or...
I don't fuck with the torture flicks. I don't fuck with the torture movies.
Yeah, the ones where, like, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, drill this lady's eyeball out, that's for money, and it's like weird. Oh, my God. That's freaking shit.
There's too much of that stuff that does actually happen, so, you know, I certainly don't think I'm going to be entertained by it.
Yeah, if you're going to give me a horror movie, give me...
It scares the shit out of me.
Right up there with Night of the Living Dead for me is a movie called Eyes Without a Face. It's a French movie. I think it was...
I know that one.
In the 60s. Oh, it's so fucking creepy. They cut the faces off people. But, like, for the 60s, like, they're showing you cutting the face off. It's nuts. And putting on this girl, and the girl goes crazy, and... It's a really, really creepy movie. And you should the face that's put on that's cut off another person and put on this girl, the mask face she wears. It's just creepy as shit, man. Eyes Without a Face. That's a great fucking movie. It's a good one,
dude. Sounds like Hostel. What's Rob Zombie's flicks? Those are creepy as fuck, man.
Yo, if you want to get real deep and weird, there's a movie called Satan. It's from Turkey. It's their first horror movie, and it is a straight up David. Have you seen this movie? It is a fucking straight up, down to the fucking music, ripoff of The Exorcist with like low budget. They do the music, they do the whole story. Like when the head turns around, it's straight ripoff, but in Turkey. They didn't give a fuck about copyright rules.
Well, I don't think those apply.
No, it definitely doesn't. Jeffy, sure. Give us a horror movie for you that's really scary before we get David out of here. I could talk to David all night. David, you would have opened a whole new category with me. I love this kind of horror movies. I love this shit.
I sort of hate horror movies, but...
Jeffy, I mean, if I could make you a scary movie for $18, you'd watch that shit.
Yeah, like those ones I enjoy, like the funny, stupid ones. That's
all these movies
ones.
I'm talking about, yeah.
I mean, but like I said, like, you know, one horror movie that I watched over and over because it's like a mind fuck one is like The Last Man on Earth. Again, it's like a Vincent Price movie. I love those old black and white, like,
freaks. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that I Am Legend, basically?
It's basically I Am
Legend. It is. Like, Richard Matheson.
Yeah. Great book, by the way. Fucking.
Yeah.
What a killer movie. And the fact at the end, you know, where it's you know, they're like, they're trying to hunt him.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was like, it's always like, holy shit, he's been killing all these people.
If Vincent Price was a fucking man.
Oh, my God. He played that record, and he would get drunk and fall asleep, and, like, I just loved it.
I mean, what else is he supposed to do?
Just such a good, like, freaky movie, like, every day, this is my life.
That movie itself, the what you're talking about, The Last Man on Earth, the claustrophobia that they give, that makes you feel, even though he's in a... He has unlimited space is incredible.
Because remember he has to lock his doors and they come banging every night. He has to crank the music because they're like, he hears them outside and stuff. Oh, and he's like, God. You're fucking getting away.
Did you ever read the book or any of the book, I Am Legend? It's
Oh,
my God. It's so fucking, it's such a great fucking book. Terrible.
Yeah, and that's that guy, Richard Matheson. Wrote for both The Twilight Zone and Kolchak, The Night Stalker.
Oh, really?
Which were two big influences, of course, on the X-Files. So, yeah.
You just hit one right there, Twilight Zone. And what was the other one? Outer Limits. Did that freak you out as a kid?
Outer Limits, yeah.
My dad used to watch that shit, and he used to terrify me when I was really little. I don't know why. I think it was just the beginning, like the beginning scene where it was like The Outer Limits and had some like weird pig face guy or something.
Shit. David, last one for me. This Halloween season, what are we afraid of most? Ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, vampires? What's the scariest thing? What should we be on the lookout for come All Hallows Eve?
Well, the scariest thing of the season is probably the government, but...
Oh! Wait a minute. I got you.
Okay, terrific.
Yep, yep.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Couldn't agree more, but we'll leave that alone.
But, it's, you know, a lot of people are focused on the idea of spirits because it's the time of the year when the veil is the thinnest. That's what the old traditions say.
Wow.
And it's the easiest time for spirits to communicate with our world.
You are the fucking man, bro. I love talking to you. Dan, get his plugs out for him so we get him out of here.
Absolutely. If you love cryptozoology, if you love haunted fucking stories like the ones you've heard, if you like kung fu vampires,
fuck yeah.
Check out David Weatherly at airylights.com. You check out his IG, same thing, Airy Lights. You look out for him. He got books coming out, Monsters of the Big Sky County, Legends of Montana, all kinds of crazy shit. Yo, this man knows what he's talking about. He's bringing it hard. All these stories will have you shivering, and he's there doing it. He's seen it all, man. This guy's been there. He's done that. You check him out, airylights.com.
Yeah, that's I mean, you should put that on your website, David, right there. I can record. I can send you that if you want. Just Dan putting you over. Jeff, any final thoughts for David before we get him out of here?
You know, I want to do like a, do you think it's like a not a terrible idea to just walk? I mean, I've been looking up all these haunted places in New York, like New York City. I feel like I just want to start going to get beers in these weird haunted places. Like, what do you think I should do to get some spirits?
Man, that's sometimes the best way to start getting a sense of places. You know, just don't try to take equipment in and stuff. Just go, I mean, bars or whatever, go during working hours, you know, just sit down, talk to people. Sometimes you hear the best stories, you know, if you just kind of relax and communicate with people there. And sometimes they'll open up and tell you things that, you know, you'll never read in a book or hear anywhere else, because it's a personal experience that somebody's sharing, and those things are incredibly valuable. And, you know, use your own senses when you're in those places. See what you pick up on.
Absolutely. Hey, and he's going to use his cell phone too. The second he sees some creepy shit, he's going to call you, just giving you the heads up.
Hey, yep. No worries. You guys have the number.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best good brothers on the planet. He knows it all, from Bigfoot to Loch Ness to ghosts to aliens. He's a friend of our show. He's a good friend of ours. Give it up for the one, the only, Mr. David Weatherly. Yeah. All right, David, we appreciate you, brother. Have a great Halloween, and we'll be in touch with you real soon, my friend.
Always a pleasure, guys. Talk to you soon.
You are the man, brother. There he goes. The one,
later, brother.
The only, David Weatherly. God, I love talking to that guy. Every single time we talk to David, I look behind me. I'm afraid some crazy shit's going on, but this conversation we just had might be one of my favorites I've ever had with him.
That was so much fun.
He's the best. He really is. He's so easy to talk to. Yeah.
He's awesome. I mean, I'm literally, like, I'm texting Dan, be like, all right, what do we got? How can we talk to him? Dan's got some research in all these places. I'm like, all right, great, we can go there. We bring fucking David on the show. What's he do? Immediately just fucking launches. He's got a bunch of material for us. Anybody who wants to be a guest on anybody's show, listen to this. What David just did, that's how you fucking do it. Tell him, Jeffy.
That's how you do it. Come on and you kick ass. You answer questions and you intrigue the people.
No, but he came on prepared. Like, he had stories to tell about restaurants. Like, it was awesome.
I'm just going to go on a limb and say that we could probably call David anytime, anywhere, and he would have a story on the fucking cuff about something.
Fuck yeah.
He is a master storyteller. That guy, and story recorder. I mean, you know, like, all that. One thing we didn't touch on, and I totally forgot to ask him while we were there, is like how he writes these books. Like,
God, we didn't get the investigative journalism
that must go into each one of those books is incredible. You know, it's just like the stories and the things he has to compile to make it a cohesive book is really great. So, I mean,
we should organize the Plum Love Foods ghost hunt. Bring 10 people with us, have Dave fly David in, and do a night of ghost hunting in New York City.
Yeah, or Connecticut. There's some creepy fucking spots in Connecticut, boy.
That's true.
There's a lot of spots in Connecticut. I had stories to tell. I was like in places I've been, but you know, we didn't get to that. But it's all good.
Well, Dan, I mean, I know you love talking about this stuff, but I mean, David's a pro. Like, it's always great hearing him talk, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great to get the experience, understand what he's talking about. I mean, he's a mentor without knowing he's a mentor, because he's hitting you information, you know, telling you about the things to look for, the things to watch out for, his little interactions with stuff. It's great. It's so informative, so awesome. Yeah. And he knows what he's talking about. He's been there. He's done it.
What a great fucking human being. The one, the only David Weatherly. Always love talking to him. Boys, I think we're going to skip What Did We Learn This Week, because we've already gone, 90 minutes already? Jesus. Yeah, 90 minutes. Yeah.
I learned a lot today.
I learned a lot about ghosts.
I just learned a lot now. And the only other story I had to share was about candy corn.
Do you want to share it really quick, or are you good?
No, I just went down a rabbit hole. I was just like, what the fuck is candy corn even made out of? I hate this shit. And then so I watched a bunch of videos on either how to make homemade candy corn, and then what it was actually made out of. And I was actually surprised. It's just really a ton of fucking sugar in like six different forms. Heated and whipped and gelatined, food coloring.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks. And then they have little molds. That was the weirdest thing. Those are all little molds. They have to, like, you know, pour that. It gets, like, you know, extruded in these little molds, and then they cure.
Jeffy, did you do show prep? Pulps. I'm a mate. Like, I'm proud of you.
Ron, what do you mean? I show prep every week.
You did show prep. Like, you were talking about candy corn? That's great. I love it.
I do get a lot of candy corn. I hate that shit.
Candy corn's good. The first few pieces are. After you've had like six, you're like, okay, enough.
What?
You don't like candy corn?
That's just disgusting.
It doesn't even look like fucking corn, does it?
No, it does when you have to like stack them. It's weird. If you the way they're supposed to be, they're supposed to be stacked around. And if you look at them all together, it looks like a piece of corn. It's fucking weird. Like, but you have to go through all the fucking. It's actually like a corn kernel. Like imagine one corn kernel, and you stack them all up in a circle on top of each other,
like a cylinder.
Like a cylinder.
Have you never seen that treat? They do that. You take ice cream and you roll it. And then you scoop it and you put it in plastic wrap and make it into a roll, and then you put it in the freezer, and then you take candy corn and you stick it around it and make it look like a corn on the cob, and then put it back in the freezer, and then you slice it and serve and like
throw
slices.
It away.
Yeah, people fucking love it. I think it's disgusting. I wish people would. Yeah, it's just disgusting.
I hate all these things. What I do love is vampires and ninjas. Count me in.
Vampire ninja. I had just one story that I wanted to tell real quick. Just one of the haunted houses, there's this Puma Inn in Beijing, China. I just had to because it was a chef that killed a patron, and then the chef killed himself, and then apparently the story is that the patron went around trying to kill the chef.
How did the chef kill him? Like was
poisoned
like,
him. His boyfriend it was like a poisoning. No, it was a poisoning. They don't really know why. That's why I didn't want to bring it up, because it's kind of they don't know why he died. It was an accidental poisoning, but the chef felt guilty and killed himself. But then apparently the ghost of the patron goes around haunting people looking for the chef to get his revenge.
Let me tell you something right now. Anytime you got a story about some like a Japanese restaurant or a Japanese story, they always trying to get revenge.
Always. Revenge!
Always. All the time.
Maybe getting some fugu.
That's a terrible story too. I don't know if I want to go to any haunted restaurants, boys. I think I'm making my I'm taking my stand. I mean, maybe we might have to take a TV pitch off the table.
it's fun. It's a good time. Scared the shit out of yourself. You're good.
I'm excited for Halloween, boys. I hope you guys have a fantastic Halloween. Jeffy, hope you do. Dan, hope you do. Any final thoughts, Dan? What do you got for us?
I'm hoping that the rest of this week is fun and exciting. Halloween is right around the corner, and I hope to get the shit scared out of me.
All right. Jeff, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Just love hanging out and seeing you guys.
All right. Yeah, me too. For all the good brothers here, big shout out to Dave. Hopefully we'll see Dave again next week. He's got a lot going on. Dave will be back on the show very soon. Dave is in the middle of moving. He's going to Boston. There's a lot going on. We'll have him back on soon. We miss him. We love him. Big shout out to Chef Frank. Listen to the show in Florida with another chef buddy. We look forward to hanging out with you guys again next week. It should be a great show. Shout out to our guest tonight, the one, the only, David Weatherly. Dan, we can get him at eerielights.com, right?
Eerielights.com. Yes, that is exactly where you find him.
That's right.
Eerielights.com.
He's got books galore. I bought his Cryptoids of Alaska book. Check it out. He does a lot of great work. He's a good brother. So make sure you check him out. For Jeffy, For Dan, my name is Chef Plum. We'll see you guys next week. Remember, food is the most important thing in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's give it the time it deserves. We'll see you next week, everybody. Peace. Happy Halloween.
Power too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.